Tutuloy po natin yung ating pong pag-aaral sa aklat po ng Hebreo. And last Sunday, we have looked at three reasons or many reasons why Jesus is supreme than angels. At sabi po natin last Sunday that isa sa mga dahilan kung bakit ang author o ang nagsulat po ng Hebreo ay inuna po niya ang paalala na si Jesus ay higit pa sa anghel. Dahil po sa kanilang kumakalat na pananaw na ang mga anghel ay isa sa mga prominenteng ginamit ng Panginoon para dalhin ang batas ng Diyos, lalong-lalo na ang Old Testament law sa bayang Israel. The angels acted as intermediaries. They acted out as mediators between God and man. And so the author of Hebrews wanted to present Jesus Christ as the ultimate mediator. We don't need any angelic revelations or special knowledge to affirm or even confirm what has been already given to us through Jesus Christ. Maliwanag po ba yun? So, gusto ho ng nagsulat ng Hebreo na itaas lalo ang prominenteng katayuan ng ating Panginoong Jesus na ang mga anghel na ito, bagamat sila ay mahalaga sa ministeryo ng Panginoon, subalit sa panahon natin ngayon, sinasabi ng Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, mas higit ang revelasyon o kapahayagan ng anak dahil siya ang pinaka-tagapamagitan, siya ang tanging tagapamagitan between God and man. And so yan po ang ginamit po, I believe, main reason why the author of the Hebrews presented to us this proposition that Jesus is better supreme than angels. We don't need any revelations because God, through His Son, has already revealed the very glory of God. Christ's revelation is divine, it is final, and it is very authoritative. And so kung may lumapit po sa atin na sasabihin niya, ito ngayon ang bagong utos ng Diyos, sino nagsabi niya? Isang anghel, ng pangalan niya ay si Moroni, then mga kapatid, ingat na ho tayo. Because God revealed, or Jesus revealed, the very glory of God, no, in Him. And so the need to address the issue is very important to the Jewish perspective and that it affirms also the deity and the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so last Sunday, sinabi po natin that the first reason why Jesus is superior than angels is because of His worth. Because Jesus is, capital S, the Son of God. Jesus has this special relationship with the Father as the divine Son of God. Angels do not have that unique relationship. At nakita ho natin po yung tatlong quotations in the Old Testament affirming such relationship. Sabi po ng Psalm 2 verse 7, quote, kinote po yan sa Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5, sabi, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," or "I have fathered you." At tinignan ho natin ng detalye po yung pong salitang begotten. Pangalawa po na quote po ay yung pong sinabi po sa 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 14, "I will be a father to him and he will be a son to me." Again, these words, okay, refer to God's covenant to David, and we know that that covenant overextends to even the greater David, if not the greatest David of all. I am using a figure, walang iba kundi ang ating pong Panginoon. That statement further explains the central theme of this section that Jesus is greater than the angels because, again, of that relationship, because of the oneness between the Father and the Son. And also, it is obvious in that third statement, "And let him," he says, "and let all the angels of God worship him." It affirms, again, the divinity of Jesus Christ as the Son of God because Jesus is the object of worship, hindi po yung mga anghel. Okay? And that from that point, tumigil po tayo po doon. Go back sa Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. At titignan po natin yung pong remaining two reasons why Jesus is supreme or better than the ministering angels. Second reason, because Jesus is sovereign, creator, and ruler. First, Jesus is the Son of God. Second, Jesus is sovereign, creator, and ruler. He has dominion. Jesus is king. Jesus is sovereign. Angels are not. And now let us read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. And regarding the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But regarding the sun, he says, your throne, God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will all perish, but you remain. They will be like garments, or they will wear out like garments. And like a robe, you will roll them up like a garment. They will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. Look at me, brethren. Even at the beginning of this section, it was affirmed already the chasm or the separation between Jesus and the angels. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, it tells us that God makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. This section or this phrase, itong sentence po na ito, itong verse na ito, kinuha po ito sa Psalm 104 verse 4. And in the context of that psalm, no, pinapakita po nung salmista ang kadakilaan ng Diyos. At parte ng kadakilaan ng Diyos, siya ay naguutos even sa mga anghel. Hindi lang siya lumikha, kundi siya po ang naguutos. God summons the angels to fulfill his purpose is a clear indication of Jesus' supremacy over angels. So sa umpisa pa lamang po ng section po na ito, mayroon na hong malawak ho na pagkakaiba sa katayuan ng Panginoong Jesus sa mga anghel. Ang Diyos ang naguutos. Siya ang naguutos. God summons. And look at your Bibles again. What does that word wind mean in that passage? And the word wind means breath. It means breath. Actually, the Greek word here also used referring to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Wind or the Holy Breath, the Holy Ghost. But the idea here is that God brings the angels according to His desire. Sabi nga, He makes the angels wind, move, roam around. It is God who makes the angels move according to the intention of the one giving the command. He makes his angels as his breath, commanding them wherever God wants them to be. And listen to this, brethren. Angels move, ang mga anghel, move according to the Lord's intention and will. No angel would ever move or act according to their own desire. Wala po. Wala po. And so, hindi lamang po yun, mga kapatid. The idea is further expounded by the next phrase. Look at the verse again. He makes also his ministers, his angels, a flame of fire. Angels are ministers. Literally, it means servants. Pag sinabi po natin ministers, servants, hindi ho lords ho yung mga yan. Workers, or literally, it means worshipers. Angels are spirit beings who sometimes also brings the very judgments of God. The point here, brethren, is this. God summons his angels. Angel will not act on according to their own intention. And most of the time, brethren, in the New Testament, angels bring judgment of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, they are called, sabi niya, his mighty angels in flaming fire. And what do? They inflict vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So angels sometimes act as God's executioners. They bring judgment, brethren. And in the book of Ezekiel, they are called the flash of lightning. Flash of lightning ng Panginoon. They bring messages of God rapidly and swiftly. But the whole point of the phrase po, dyan po sa Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7 is this. They bring in messages of God and they do not put forward their own desire. The idea here, brethren, is that they are not independent. They are not independent. They are not apart from what God wants them to accomplish. They work according to God's bidding. And again, that would make them, of course, inferior with God, for they serve God. Okay, mamaya po, ikukonekta po natin bakit mahalaga pong intindihin po natin ito. Nang ang mga anghel ay hindi po sila kapantay ni Jesus. Dahil lalo po sa panunhon natin ngayon, even sa kultura po natin, even ang mga anghel ay pinapantay po sa ating pong Panginoon. Okay? And so, even on that onset po ng verse po na ito, there's a disparity, there's a difference between the supremacy of Jesus over angels. Angels are being summoned. Jesus is the one commanding these angels according to his own bidding. Now, Jesus is superior than angels because, again, look at, balik po tayo sa Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. Jesus is superior than angels because Jesus was not given the same description like that of angels. Verse 8. Sabi po ng verse 8, but of the Son. Again, there's a distinction. Diba? Nagbibigay po ng distinction. Ang mga anghel, inuutusan ng Diyos. Meron silang ginagawa, pero ang kilang ginagawa ay ayon sa gusto ng Diyos. But of the Son, in verse 8, he says, and here, brethren, it describes us why Jesus is supreme over angels. How did that happen? First of all, in verse 8 and 9, it tells us that Christ is the eternal King. Christ is the eternal King. Balik po tayo sa verse 8. Sabi niya, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, but the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteousness or the scepter of your righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and you hated lawlessness. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness. It speaks of Jesus as the everlasting King with an everlasting kingdom. But then, if I were you, knowing this truth, knowing that Jesus is our ruling King, will comfort us, especially in this particular time on despair. Di ba? Sa panahon natin ngayon, pabago-bago lahat ng batas, pabago-bago lahat ng ginagawa po ng ating pamahalaan. As a believer, Lord, salamat, hindi ko po may pagkakatiwala ang buhay ko sa kanila. Salamat, meron akong hari na makapangyarihan sa lahat. Brethren, God's throne abides forever. God's kingdom is everlasting kingdom. You see, brethren, the throne there, that word throne, is a figure that speaks of power, speaks of sovereignty and authority. When we say God's throne is forever, it means that his power is everlasting. It never changes. That his kingdom does not diminish nor elevates. Hindi po katulad po ng ating pong ng earthly kingdom. Na kung may kakulangan, o di magdagdag tayo ng batas. Sobra-sobra na, o di repeal natin. But the Lord's kingdom does not diminish nor elevates because our King is the all-sufficient God. The one who created all things and the one who rules all things. And brethren, I love how the author describes this kingdom. Sabi niya po, it is from age to age. But then the idea does not just mean that his kingdom, this ruling power of God, this sovereignty, does not change from one period of time to another. Hindi lang po nini-describe yung phrase na from age to age na ang kaharian ng Panginoon ay magpakailanman. Hindi lang po yun. Pero pinapakita lang din po dyan, brethren, that his kingdom is not confined with time. His kingdom, God's rule, is beyond us. His kingdom is high above any human government. It is high above any human earthly governments. Listen to this. time and space will not affect His kingdom. It will not tremble. Because even our dimension is bound up in His divine sovereignty. You just imagine kung ang hakaran ng Panginoon nagbabago based sa nangyayari sa atin. Naku, delikado po yun. Comparing to the eternal reign of Christ, ilang taon na ho ba ang mundo? 7,000? Sabihin natin 8,000? If the Lord's kingdom trembles in what is happening now during this situation, COVID-19, Lord, nagbago ko na ata. Lord, napabayaan mo ata ito. Then the whole eternity is at stake. And God's character is at stake. Brethren, even our situation will not define the glory of God, His kingdom. It will not. And I would like to remind you, you belong to that kingdom. That's why you put your faith in Christ, because you know that His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Amen? Bakit ako matitinag sa pabago-bagong nangyayari sa paligid ko? At bakit ako matatakot? Of course, I'm not saying this parang, wow, wala, parang takot si Pastor Jason. I'm saying here is, settled na ako sa Panginoon. Because I know that I am not part of this kingdom. I belong to a kingdom that is everlasting, eternal. It is abiding kingdom, a kingdom that will not diminish. It is God's kingdom. I pray, brethren, that despite of what is happening now, you will find comfort and encouragement that you belong to the everlasting kingdom of God. Again, observe the next phrase, which actually parallels the first statement. Parehong opo ang kanya pong binabanggit po diyan. Go back to verse 8. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteousness or the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Sabi, the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. The author also, listen to this, adapted the language of the psalm and used these figures of throne and kingdom to refer to His rule and power. This is understandable. God's kingdom means He rules. He has kingdom because He is powerful. Di po ba? And then what symbol did the author use to speak of His kingdom? It is a scepter. Di po ba? Kapag kinukoronahan na po yung mga royalties, meron po silang scepter na dala-dala as a symbol of their authority, as a symbol of their power and of their rule. Scepter means one or stick or staff. And sometimes it is being used to a shepherd ruling over his sheep. Okay? So yun po ang kumbaga simbolismo po ng salitang scepter po dyan. It has a meaning of ruling, governing, shepherding, pastoring. So what does the passage tell us about God's rule? It means that the government of righteousness is the scepter of righteousness. It is a rule of righteousness. And listen to this, brethren. When we look further of that word righteousness, it does not only convey the idea that God rules uprightly or righteously. Yes, the word righteousness means straightness or uprightness, but it gives us an idea, listen to this, that God's rule is not just only a rule of justice and equity. Yes, it can mean a rule separate or different from us. It is a holy rule defined by His character and moral perfections. But the word righteousness there also conveys the idea that God's kingdom will never deviate. God's rule is unbroken. It is continuing. And again, it affirms the first statement of that verse, His kingdom is from age to age. It emphasized, brethren, that the kingdom of God, kung saan kabilang po tayo bilang mananampalataya dahil kay Kristo, that kingdom will never succumb, will never be affected, not being influenced by any rule. Ibig sabihin niyan, mga kapatid, ang ating pong kaharian, ang kaharian ng ating pong Panginoon, hindi po yan naapektuhan. Mananatili magpakailanman, anuman mangyari dito sa mundo. That's God's rule. That's God's rule. And this is what Isaiah referred to when he prophesied about the rule of the Messiah in Isaiah 9 verse 7. Please look at your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7. Sige po. In verse 7, there will be no end of the increase of the Messiah's government of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with what? With justice, that's a rule of holiness, righteousness, that's another sense of righteousness, and also righteousness in the way that it is from this forward and forevermore. It is an abiding rule. And going back to Hebrews chapter 1, please go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Again, it affirmed the idea that the Lord's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It does not succumb. It is not influenced. It is an abiding kingdom in such a way that it was described that God loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Same principle. God loved righteousness. He loved righteousness. His rule is based on his moral perfections. Di po ba? It is based on what is happening on the earth. His moral perfection. Kung ano ang kanyang nais, kung ano ang kanyang kagustuhan, gagawin niya yan. Psalms. What the Lord wills, he will fulfill. He loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. That word lawlessness is basically deviation from what is true. In the same idea ulit, dun sa binabanggit po natin, the whole section gives us one thing. God's rule is an everlasting kingdom. It does not deviate. It is not broken. It is abiding. And so putting them together, brethren, God's kingdom is never affected by any human will. Natataranta po tayo? Praise God, ang Panginoon din na natataranta. Natatakot po tayo? Praise God, ang Panginoon alam niya ang kanyang ginagawa. And so why fear? Why fear? Put your trust in the Lord. And that is the essence why yung pong kinanta po natin. Trust in the Lord. Because His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Hindi po basta-basta matitinag. It is a rule that transcends time and a government that will stand no matter what because this kingdom is eternal. The kingdom of God, where you belong, kapatid, is a kingdom that is secured, it is settled, it is sovereign. Now the question there is, am I part of that kingdom? Am I part of this kingdom? Well, kapat kaibigan, kapag ikaw, hindi ka kay Kristo, hindi kami magugulat kung sa lahat na nangyari ngayon, matatakot ka. Dahil hindi mo unawa ang kaharian ng Diyos. Di po ba? Kung wala ka kay Kristo, kung wala ka sa Panginoon, talagang matatakot ka. Dahil nakikita mong kaharian, ayun nandito lang. Pero kaibigan, kung ikaw ay Kristiyano, bakit ka natitinag basta-basta? Bakit ka nadidiril sa iyong pananampalataya sa Panginoon? Ibig sabihin yan, hindi mo malubos na unawaan ang kaharian kung saan ka kinuha ng Panginoon. Muntik na awaw dun ah. So kung ikaw ay tunay na mananampalataya, the kingdom where you belong, knowing that God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, will bring you comfort, Lord. Oh. Siyempre, hindi ko sinasabi dito kapag ikaw, wala ka ng pakialam, lalabas ka, siyempre, hindi ka na magmamas. My point here is this. At the end of the day, ano man mangyari sa'yo, kaibigan, panatag ka na. Pag tayo nagsishare ng gospel, palagi natin sinasabi, alam mo, ang pinakamagandang pagpapala, eternal life. Tapos bigla ka may COVID na. E di kinokontradict mo lang yung sinasabi mo na may buhay na walang hanggan. Samantalang palaging binabanggit ng Biblia, sabik na sabik ho ang mga mananampalataya, makita ang kaharian ng Diyos. If one day, God forbid, you will suffer, gaya ng kanta natin, I hope and pray that you will remember that you are actually already part of the kingdom. That will never end. And this will bring you comfort. Lord, salamat. Ano man mangyari sa akin, Panginoon, settled na po ako. Of course, it does not remove us any responsibility to take care of our bodies as part of goods, as part of faithful stewards, di po ba? Pero again, mga kapatid, at the end of the day, nasa kamay ng Panginoon. At kung ikaw ay na kay Kristo, well, I'm part of that kingdom. That kingdom that is not influenced by whatever is now happening in this earth. So the question now is, are you part of that kingdom? Shall we say, where is that kingdom be found? And the answer is in verse 9. It is found in Christ. The answer brings us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Sabi po doon sa second phrase, therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. It is quoted from Psalm 45, verse 7. You see, the word anointed, listen to this, brethren. The word anointed here is an interesting word because it is an Old Testament language. Kapag ikaw ay Hudyo, talagang intindi-intindi mo ito. Kasi magmula 7-year-old, buhay ka na at nakikita mo ito sa pang-araw-araw na nangyayari sa paligid mo. Kung isaw ay Hudyo. No wonder, ginamit ng author yung pong mga language na ito para maka-identify ang mga persecuted Jewish Christians na hindi na bumalik doon sa dati. Bakit? Kasi nga mayroon na si Kristo. So the word anointed is an interesting word because it is an Old Testament language. It is a familiar language to the Jewish thinking, and the author is very deliberate in putting it so that they could understand the point of this argument. And the point of argument is Jesus is God, He is supreme over all. And please open your Bibles with me, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Balik po ulit tayo, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It tells us of the Messiah as the anointed one. Okay? Bali, basahin ko po sa inyo, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty, to freedom to the prisoners. So, that passage, Isaiah 61, is a messianic prophecy. Alam po natin yan. But here, brethren, there is that commissioning and sending of the Messiah. And Jesus, as the Messiah, He is the chosen one by God and also the sent one. And tingnan po natin konti po ito pong salita po na ito. Dahil mayroon pong lesson po na makikita po natin dito sa ministeryo po na ating Panginoon. See, again, the Hebrew mind is familiar with this truth that when the Messiah comes, when Jesus will come, in the Hebrew mind, the Messiah will come, He will unveil the very kingdom of God. Okay? Alam na alam po nila yan. He will reveal the glory of this kingdom. And the New Testament, brethren, tells us that Jesus fulfilled the required descriptions of being the anointed one or the sent one. First, as a prophet, as a priest, and as the king. It is very clear, both in the Old and the New Covenant, in the New Testament, that Jesus is King. Even in the Old Testament, the characters of the Old Testament, like Isaiah, like Jeremiah, he prophesied about the seed of the woman, or the seed, or the branch. He presented also, like Micah presented, that the Messiah will come, will be born, at the town of Bethlehem. Even David understood that the Messiah will be born as a king. And in the New Testament, the angels who brought the news announced that the king was born. Di po ba? The king was born. Even the response of the characters in the New Testament when Jesus was born also affirmed that the Messiah will come as a king. For example, Herod. Herod was threatened that the king arrived in Bethlehem. And so yung response po niya, affirming that ang Messiah, hindi lang siya propeta, hindi lang po siya pari, kundi siya po ay isa pong hari. The visitors also recognized that the newborn Messiah is born as a king. They presented gifts reserved only for a king. Yung pong the Magi or the wise men. And it is no surprise, brethren, that the stories of our Lord Jesus' life was presented in one of the Gospels as a king, the Gospel of Matthew. And so Jesus, as the king, brought the kingdom of God to us as the anointed one, as the sent one. Dumating ang Panginoon, hindi lang kaligtasan, kundi ipinakita po niya ang kaharian ng Diyos dahil siya po ay isang hari. And so, brethren, Jesus was the only way human being can ever come or can ever know the kingdom of God. Jesus, as a king, as the anointed one, as the only sent one by God, who presented the very glory and kingdom of God, is the only way a person can ever know what this kingdom is. Ang tunay na kaharian ng Diyos ay lubos po nating maunawaan sa pamagitan ng daan ng ating pong Panginoong Hesus. Ang mabigat po ito, mga kapatid, if you really understand that. Why? Because whatever a person does, thinking he could use it to make it to the kingdom of God, without that person passing through the life, the death, and resurrection of Christ, he will end up nothing. Mabigat po yan kapag sinabi mo yan sa isang taong napaka-religious. Eh lalo pa kaya, mas mabigat yan kapag narinig yan ng isang Hudyo. Ibig sabihin, lahat ng mga ginagawa namin in the past, mas hindi yun yung kumpletong kaharian ng Diyos? Yes. Because ultimately, God spoken to us through His Son. And one of the things that He has spoken to us is the kingdom of God, the realization of the kingdom of God. So if the person wanted to go to the kingdom of God by his own human effort, by his own ability, without passing through the life and death, or the gospel, the good news, he will end up what? Nothing. Either you got Jesus or nothing. Dati-dati po kapag exam po namin sa accounting, isang mali mo lang, zero agad. Pero pag nakuha mo, five agad. Five or zero. Total or wala. Nakapatid, ganun din po sa kaligtasan. Ganun din po sa kaharian ng Diyos. Kahit anuman pong klaseng religious spiritual thing na ginawa mo, pero kung wala si Jesus doon, kaibigan, wala kang makikitang kaharian ng Diyos. Wala. Wala. That's why Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the kingdom of God apart from me. No one. And so if you are a Christian, and God has found you, you are in Christ, and therefore that kingdom belongs to you. Something that most of us, or if not all of us, should humble us. Lord, sino ba ako na maging tagapagmana ng kaharian mo? Lord, sino ba ako, Panginoon, na magkaroon ng relasyon sa inyo? Kanina pa nga lang, nagko-complain ako. Naku, ganito na naman, nakamas na, alam mo yun. Dami-dami problema namin, Panginoon. Kapatid, knowing this, brethren, will humble us, will give us more motivation to glory the Lord. Listen to this. No human or no amount of any human works and effort will ever draw a person to God without Christ. Without Christ. That's why here in our church and as believer, we value the exclusivity of Christ with regards to our spiritual things or spiritual life. Sabi nga, the pilgrim can only progress until he passes through the cross and be broken from his self-governing pride to receive the blessing of the kingdom of grace and faith. Sabi nga po, ulitin ko, the pilgrim can only progress, referring to the pilgrim's progress, the pilgrim can only progress until he passes through the cross and be broken from his self-governing pride, okay, and to receive the blessing of the kingdom of grace and faith. That's why what John Bunyan wrote, napakaganda pong allegory po sa buhay Kristiyano, a pilgrim's progress. But bago ka mag-progress, bago ka makausad, dadan at dadan ka dapat sa krus kay Kristo. And that is very consistent with the teachings of the Bible, di po ba? As Christians, we belong to a kingdom not of this world, but of God, because of Christ. Because you belong to the kingdom of Christ, then, therefore, you live under the rule and power of our King Jesus. Therefore, we should act and live as one who possesses this eternal and reigning kingdom. And so, Jesus is the eternal and ruling King. His kingdom transcends human dimension. His rule is everlasting. His power is unending. And because of our union with Christ, we are part of that kingdom. Praise God. We are part of that kingdom. This kingdom, this earthly kingdom, will fall. But our kingdom in Christ will never fail, will never fall. And because of this, mga kapatid, we have hope beyond this life. And mga kapatid, instead na magbigay tayo, oh, tatawa, COVID na, marami na apektuan. Ang dami na, well, totoo, we warn. Put face mask. Be responsible enough to take care of your body. Pero mas grabing comfort na may ibigay mo sa isang tao na ang buhay na ito mawawala, eh ang ibigay mo na lang yung kingdom ng Panginoon. Amen? Amen po ba? Nauunawaan po ba natin? Kasi hindi po, ulitin natin, balikan po natin. Because I would like to encourage you that as believers, think like one who belongs to the kingdom of God. Not one who rattles and manifests that mukhang kaibigan, hanggang dito lang talaga ang thinking mo. Christian ka ba? Naunawaan mo ba talaga kung ano talaga ang inalaan na ng Panginoon sa buhay mo? And why fear? Why fret, mga kapatid? I'm not saying na hindi ka kinakabahan. Sa panggalan, mangkubyo. Alam, ang ganda-ganda ho ng mga pangkasentrum pagdating sa mga bagay na yun. Mangkubyo sa pag-uumo. Kinakabahan ka. Yes, kakabahan ka. Kasi hindi doon sa kamatayan. Kundi kinakabahan ka, paano kaya umamamatay? Alam mo yun? Siyempre, normal po pa rin tayo. Hindi po tayo robot. We have emotions, we have feeling, we have physical bodies. Imagine mo, kapag natamaan yung paa mo, ano ang mafe-feel mo? Nasasaktan ka. Pero, pag ikaw ay mananampalataya, kapatid, again, palagi natin binabanggit, gate or death is just a gate that opens to us to the whole kingdom of God where we belong. Amen? So Jesus is the eternal King, verse 8 and 9. Second, Christ is the sovereign creator. Again, this is, again, pareho ang prinsipyo po na binabanggit po dito. Meron lang pong pagkakaiba pagdating sa nuance po dito. And in verse 10 to 12, here, the Son is presented as the sovereign maker of all things. Basahin po ulit natin, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are work of your hands. You laid, God laid the beginning of all creations. Nothing came to existence without the power of God. And this passage is quoted from Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27. And here, brethren, the author made a case that Jesus is sovereign over all created things. For Jesus himself is the maker, the creator. Basically, it means, literally, it says, at one point in time, in human history, God or Jesus laid the foundation of the earth. He has no beginning because bago mag-umpisa, kung may beginning siya, kasama siya dun sa beginning na yon. Again, it affirms dun sa nabanggit po natin sa Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. He has no beginning. He has no time because He is the Creator. He gives time. He made time. At one point in time, Jesus laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens are His handiwork. Again, mga kapatid, paulit-ulit po tayo dito just to make the point. The author laid down the difference. The creator will remain. The creation, especially this earthly creation, will last for a moment. And how did he make that point? Again, the author used three figure of speech here. Basahin po natin ang verse 9. Sabi niya doon, the point here is they will perish. All these creations will perish, but God will remain. And how did he make the point? First, they all will become old like a garment. Second, they like a mantle, they will be rolled up. Third, like a garment, they will also be changed. And then again, no, doon ginawa niyang sandwich po, yung point ho that, but you are the same and your years will not come to an end. They will all wear out like a garment. That word wear out has the idea of not only becoming old, but actually becoming obsolete. They will wear out, hindi lang yung lumuluma, kundi wala nang gamit. They will roll up like a robe. Roll up means to wrap up. And again, this is a Jewish perspective. After the high priest or any priest serve the purpose of God, they will roll up their garments, their sleeves. Tapos na. Sabi ng Panginoon, lahat ng mga nakikita natin, parang ganon. Tapos na, matatapos yan. Things will be wrapped up. And last ho, na figure of speech na ginamit po dyan, just to give the point, is that all things will be changed like a garment. Change here does not mean to become better. Magbago ka na. Tapos pareho na tao, magbago ka na. Ibig sabihin, magdagdag ka ng maganda. Diba? Minsan ganun ang ating ideya ho dun eh, when it comes to change. But in the Hebrew mind, when we say change, change means to make different. Change means things will be no more and it will be made complete, or things will be made complete, will be made anew. There will be a new creation. Mawawala lahat. All of those figure of speech gives us or affirm the idea that God will remain and those things, earthly things, will perish. They will change. Mawawala. Mawawala lahat. And again, brethren, it gives us the idea that Jesus is supreme than angels because Jesus is the Creator. He is the immutable, eternal God. One thing is for sure, brethren, in this time of uncertainty, in this time of despair, time of confusion, mawawala lahat po ito, mga kapatid. Mawawala lahat. But one thing is for sure, and it must bring us comfort, that our King and this kingdom will remain. At the end of the day, you will remain. Amen? And so that's the second reason why Jesus is supreme. First, he is the Son. Second, he is the sovereign. And it gives us how that sovereignty works out. First, he is the eternal King. And he's the sovereign Creator. And lastly, the third reason why Jesus is supreme, better than angels, because Jesus has servants. Jesus has servants. Let us read now verse 13 to 14. Malapit na po tayo. But which of the angels has ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Again, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13 is quoted from Psalm 110 verse 1. And it is one of the Old Testament passages that is often referenced to the New Testament. No, yung pong sinabing, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Yung pong verse na yan sa Psalm 110 ay ilang beses na ginamit to refer to Christ. Therefore, that Psalm 110 is a messianic psalm. Therefore, brethren, ang New Testament, sinasabi niya that the person referred to in Psalm 110 is none other than, or the Messiah referred to by Psalm 110 is none other than Jesus Christ. Kasi baka may magtanong sa'yo, talaga bang si Jesus, siya ang Messias? Kasi ang mga Hudyo ngayon, hinihintay pa nila hanggang ngayon. That's the answer. There's the answer, brethren. Sabi nga, sit at my right hand. The right hand often gives us, speaks to us about prominence, about power and authority. It is an expression in the Bible that means honor, victory, accomplishment. And the Bible tells us that after Jesus died and resurrected, he seated at the right hand of God. That means that he has accomplished all things already that pertain, all things especially to our redemption. He has done it all. It is complete. It is complete. And again, it's Jesus stands as the conquering judge who will one day eliminate all human government. And observe, brethren, the tense there is, sabi niya, until I make your enemies a footstool. That's a prophecy that pertains to one day all human government will be eliminated. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, one day all tongue will proclaim that Jesus is King. All knees will bow to Him. Brethren, listen to this. What made Jesus supreme over angels? No angels will attribute victory over sin, Satan, and death other than the Lord Jesus Christ. No angel will attribute to that. No angels will say, worship me. And mga kapatid, this is very important because many of our friends in the Roman church will claim that angels can be venerated and worshipped. Di po ba? Alala ko noon, nung ako po ay sakristan pa, talagang dumadayo po kami sa kung saan-saang parokya. Isa ho sa mga parokya na nakita ko is a church of the Archangel Michael, parang ganun. They venerate angels and that is a pure blasphemy against God. That is a pure offensive before the holy and mighty Lord. Many of our friends are putting these angels equal with Christ. But again, brethren, based on this passage, Jesus is supreme over angels. Angels are ministering spirits. And like what I've said, brethren, when we say ministering, it tells us being what? They are servants. They are worshipers. They are sent out for a purpose. For what reason? To provide service. For whom? Sabi po ng verse 14, they provide service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Sino yung mga yun? Mga Kristiyano. And the question now is this. In what ways did angels serve the saints? In what ways did angels serve the saints? First of all, they were sent to bring the God's law to the people of Israel. Nakita na ho natin yun. They were sent to bring the law of God to the people of Israel. Also, they aided the Old Testament people of God to hand over His precepts. And in Daniel chapter 9, just write this one, Daniel chapter 9, verse 21 to 23, angels also were sent to assist the Old Testament saints so that they can have insight and understanding about the law of God. That was the experience of Daniel. So, tumutulong po sila in the Old Testament times. In the New Testament, angels were not just message carriers like Gabriel. He sent the message that Jesus will be born and that you name him, what? Emmanuel or Jesus, because he will save his people from their prosperity. Amen? No, from their sins. Walang sumagot, natutulog na ho kayo. So, angels were not just message carriers, but actually, they will be agents of God's judgment. That is in Matthew 13, verse 49. And one day in the book of Revelations, judgments of God will be realized or will be indeed seen as angels bring about those terrible, terrible judgments. And also lastly, and I believe this is one of the most, kumbaga, functions of the angels in this time. Angels are testimonies of the majestic blessing of Christians in the redemption. Ulitin ko po, angels are testimonies that what you have received in Christ is the most blessed thing or gift a person can ever receive here on this earth. Why? Open your Bibles, Luke 15 verse 10. Luke 15 verse 10. Sige po, Luke 15 verse 10. It says that in the same way I tell you that there will be a joy in the presence of the angels, there will be a testimony of a celebration by the angels over one sinner who repents. Did you get that, mga kapatid? Nakuha niyo ba yun? Angels, celebration, angel celebration is a testimony that if one sinner repents from his sin, all of them will rejoice. Testimony sila. That is one thing that they serve the people of God. They are co-celebrators of the majestic redemption of Christ. Alam niya, pag-birthday mo, di ba? Tapos mag-isamulang para, happy birthday to you. Alam mo yun, mag-isamulang. Minsan nakaka-talagang ano. Pagdating nung ikaw ay naligtas, kapatid, hindi lang yung nag-share, natuwa sa kaligtasan mo. Ang buong kalangitan. Ganon katindi ang kaligtasan ng isang makasalanan. And so, why stop warning against COVID-19 infection? Well, again, we do that. Put mask, abide in the health protocol. Huwag ka lang tumigil doon. Because you know that the greatest celebration a person can ever experience, even here on this earth, is the redemption of his soul. Open also 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Lapit na po tayo. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Ano ho yung binabanggit diyan? Salvation, the gospel. What is that? Those things, salvation, things into which angel long to look after. Kung ang mga anghel na nagbiministeryo sa kabanalan ng Diyos ay excited na excited makita ang kaligtasan ng tao, kaibigan, ano kaya ang reaction mo? Ano ang response mo pagdating sa kaligtasan ng iba? Yes, we rejoice with the healing of this person from infection of COVID. Well, we rejoice with the person. Praise God, brother, inil ka ng Panginoon. Praise God, kaibigan, okay na, naka-recover ka. But more than that, brethren, we will mostly rejoice when that person says, no more pride, no more self-government. I come to the cross of Christ. I surrender my life to Him. Sabi ho ng Bible natin, that is what the angels look after. Amen? I'm just wrapping up this one because I know after this, medyo tatagal po tayo sa series po sa Hebrews. Ano ngayon ito? Yung naalala namin, Supreme Over Angels, ano ngayon sa buhay ko? Paano ko ma-apply ito, itong mga prinsipyo na ito? First of all, listen to this. This is something that is more already personal. First, listen to this. We cannot fully comprehend the writing of the Old Testament without truly understanding the nature of Christ. Remember also, in chapter 1, ang daming Old Testament quotations. Ibig ba sabihin yan, dinilagay lang ho ng author, may purpose yun. And for us now, as a New Testament saints, our approach with regards to the Old Testament, we can fully comprehend, we can appreciate the Old Testament in the light of what Christ has done on the cross. That's why Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law. I have come to fulfill the law. So looking at the Old Testament manuscripts without Christ, without the New Testament, kulang, kaibigan. The reality of God finds its highest fulfillment in Christ. That's why the theme of the book of Hebrews, Jesus is supreme. Your Lord, my Lord, is supreme. God's fulfillment is in Christ. God has shown His perfections in Christ. Our purpose, why we study this book, is for us to truly highlight and exalt Christ. Wala na pong iba. This then means that without understanding Christ, every knowledge of God from other revelatory sources like nature, like conscience, like law, are but glimpse of divine knowledge. Why? Because ultimately, the highest fulfillment or revelation of God is found in Christ. Nakukuha ba ninyo yung mga kapatid? Whatever a person might say, that he or she has found the true God without turning to God is a dangerous and false claim. Amen? And so, how do I apply this? We cannot fully comprehend when we study the Old Testament. Make sure you also understand the New Testament about Christ, the fulfillment in Christ. Second, we cannot hold our lives permanently here on this world if we truly understand the eternal sovereign kingdom of Christ. Think about it. We cannot hold our lives permanently here on this earth, on this world, if we truly understand the eternal sovereign kingdom of Christ. And this truth should guide our thoughts with regards to living as believers here on this earth. That's why Paul said, seek the things that are above. Bakit? Kasi hindi ka pandito. Put your minds on things above. And so why would we be worried about our life, even my life, your life, when we are already guaranteed with the kingdom of God? Why worry? Why are we so hooked up with treasuring our lives that in reality, our main agenda in life here is to proclaim this kingdom of God? Why are we talking so much with valuing our life when in reality, our ultimate goal in life is to value His life and His rule in my life? Have we forgotten Galatians 2:20, brethren? Have we forgotten that I have been crucified with Christ? Have we already substituted 2 Corinthians 5:17? That you have new life in Christ? Are we to make much of our life here on this earth by trying to fear losing it than making much of Him by serving Him and seeking His kingdom? Have we flipped the reverential fear of God with the fear of man or fear of death or even fear of losing something? Please don't think na madali lang po ito. But these are commands of God. These are principles of God that the church should be reminded of. Have we forgotten the basic truth of Philippians 1 verse 21? To die is gain, but to live is what? For Christ? Because we cannot hold our lives permanently here. We cannot. Because we are kingdom citizens. Third, we cannot truly appreciate, lastly, we cannot truly appreciate our redemption in Christ without understanding the judgment of Christ. We cannot truly appreciate our salvation or our redemption without understanding the judgment of Christ. God is holy. God will judge sin. And one person repents of his sin, angels rejoice. So if angels rejoice over one soul going to heaven, would it be appropriate for us as a church to rejoice also over one person being converted to Christ? Do we believe that? Do you know? Do we believe that? I hope you still believe it. If we believe that truth, then why hesitate to go and share the gospel? Why hesitate? Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to share your word to your people. We only come to you, Lord God, by grace. Can only stand before your holy throne by grace. And we thank you, Lord God, because of what Christ has done, reconciling us to you, Lord, not only in terms by declaring us righteous because of his righteousness, but open us also a way, Lord God, for us to go, to come to the very holy presence of God, to your holy throne. Thank you that you are supreme, that you are better, Lord God, and what we have as believers is a kingdom that will never end. It's a kingdom that will rule, and that kingdom also we have responsibility to share to other people. Please protect your people, Lord God, from this pandemic. But also, Lord God, please protect us from our despair. Salamat po, Panginoon. Even as we give of our tithes and offering, thank you, Lord, that we are part of this kingdom, even, Lord God, in this church, as we desire, Lord God, to share the gospel to other peoples, Lord God, through the ministry of the church. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Salamat po. God bless you po.